This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. I'm Chuang, joined by Xiao Ning. Now, right now we'll discuss financial management trends. And according to the Credit Counselling and Debt Management Agency, otherwise known as AKPK, debt repayment has been moving towards pre-pandemic levels so far this month. Among the 300 over 1,000 customers that are part of the debt management program, this does line up with what Bank Negara Deputy Governor Jessica Chew said a fortnight ago.
Yeah, she highlighted that the total value of loan repayments had reached 70% of what it was prior to the blanket loan moratorium. While this is promising news, on the other hand, the Securities Commission recently highlighted the financial scams that have been on the rise lately, as the current low interest rate environment has made investors more vulnerable.
So to get a pulse on what's happening on the ground, we speak to Nirmala Subramaniam, the manager of AKPK. Now, AKPK saw debt repayment returning to normal in October among the over 300,000 customers in the debt management program. Nirmala, what is it due to? And is this a sign that people are finding their financial footing again?
Yeah, generally we are seeing a positive and encouraging development from our clients in repaying their installments after the moratorium ended. However, we can't say that this could be the real scenario as seen in subsequent months to come, as the repayment could have been part from their savings arising from the 6 months moratorium. So we are not really sure of the exact situation, but we hope that it will be on a continuous basis. We really hope that it's because their financial position has resumed to normal. But it's also that we have taken a lot of measures in terms of pre-identifying our debt management program clients who were affected by COVID and offered repayment assistance packages similar to what the banks were doing. So we assume that we were also very actively promoting these repayment assistance plans and educating our clients also to say that, hey, look, this is a temporary solution. It's not going to be permanent. So you really have to relook into your finances. You have to go back to normal. So you got to really work hard. So I guess a lot of these messages has also played a part in terms of helping these clients to actually come back in position.
But what are the pain points people are experiencing now, Nirmala, and what should people do if they do need this assistance?
Yeah, I think people are still worried in this current situation. But what they really need to do now is actually really look back at their finances. For those who have not contacted the bank, it's important for you to contact your bank. Ask them, how is your loan tenure affected? Is it unchanged or is it extended? And then will the overall loan amount be more than the original or the same? What should I do if I'm still unable to make repayments? So now the moratorium has ended. What can I do if I'm still failing? But most and foremost, they need to assess their current financial situation. Can they continue to make the payment after they have settled, looking into their basic necessities? Yeah, and also, how long does it take for the bank to process their application? The other aspect, very importantly here, is when you assess your financial situation on terms of repaying your loan, put them on a priority, actually, because sometimes we want to spend for other things that we've been holding on, and we may not put paying loans as a priority and still looking at ways to defer them. It will not help us in the long term. So in long term, your loan's amount is still going to be accumulated. There'll be still a lot more to pay, and then it's extended. It's not a holiday period. So what we want to see is prioritize this as one of the key things that you need to do.
Nirmala, we saw news earlier this month that Bank Negara said that 40% of borrowers got an extension of the moratorium and 60% received loan reductions. We also know that, however, there are some people who are wary of going to see their banks. What would you say to these folks?
I think it's pretty straightforward if you are affected by the current crisis for those who have lost their job or having a pay reduction. It's quite a straightforward process to just show and submit the documentation needed and it's approved. But there are also circumstances of some who are not directly affected. They may have household issues, or maybe a partner of them has lost their income, but it's them who took the loan and things like that. So please do come to AKPK or do speak with the bank, because there are measures made that maybe we could just reduce the monthly installment that we are paying for temporary and focus on the repayment, focus on building up your household income, Give it a try. Go and speak and negotiate. And you can also still come to AKPK and we will also help you to restructure your loans, making your repayments more affordable. And we not only do that, but we also provide financial counseling, financial education. So there could be some advisory that we could give you in improving your current financial situation as well.
And from AKPK's perspective, are there any key concerns ahead, especially with the implementation of the CMCO in the Klang Valley?
It's definitely a concern to a lot of us because it's going to restrict some businesses, some ways of earning income. It's going to be there. And so a lot of us will still continue to worry. And, you know, some may even worry about maybe their job was secured earlier, but now we do not know. So, I mean, what we saw from the earlier MCO period also, that many came to realization that savings was very important and they kind of like wanted to focus on savings. And we did see an increase in this actually. So I'm sure at this point of time also, we are looking at that same pattern where we are going to be very concerned about our expenditures. We are going to reduce our expenditures, try to delay big purchases if it's not necessary, delay big financial decisions if it's not necessary. So in another way, it will impact the other side of the economy as well. So I guess the thought of being more prudent will be more there among the consumers currently.
Yeah, and on a related note, Malaysians are seeing an increased number of scams, particularly investment scams. What do you think the factors are that have led to this increase over the last few months?
Yeah, it's definite that we saw a lot of stats that showed scams increased. There was something shared by Ombudsman, actually, which is an agency under Bank Negara as well. And these are some scam cases that they received with actually kind of increased a lot from what they saw last year. We could say that during the CMCO or MCO period, there was an increase in internet usage. So this gives scammers more opportunities to find victims. And we are also very uncertain about the pandemic, financial insecurity. We are worried about income. We are worried about savings. So we are trying to see where we can make money, where we can earn a little bit more. So we become more vulnerable, actually.
So, Namrala, just so that everybody is on the same page here, how can you identify a scam and what can you do if you're not sure?
So, like the telephone calls, this one very famous one, they use the Macau scam, then they have the parcel price scam. Most of it also actually generally involves the scammers posing as the authorities, such as police or officials with Bank Negara or even National Anti-Corruption Commission, you know. So they use the scare tactics and social engineering skills to persuade victims to reveal sensitive information or transfer money out of their bank accounts. So if there are calls and messages calling you and asking for personal information, clarification, we should not reveal anything, yeah, because if it was the bank who's calling you to, they would have your information, so they would not actually ask you for this information. It's different than when you are calling the bank, yeah? That's they do it for verification, yeah? So please do a check first, yeah? You can check with Bank Negara's website on the financial fraud alert. Can check with Security Commission, their alert as well. There is listings there that on companies that has already been blacklisted. PDRM has also have their account alert website where you can actually check whether the account is a mule account or there are cases on this account that you're going to bank into. So it's to the consumer actually that they would need to also play a part in educating themselves and being careful before they actually put themselves in any kind of investment situation.
Yeah, that was Namrala Subramaniam of the debt counselling agency, AKPK. Simple formula for spotting a financial scam. If it's too good to be true, it's probably not true. Okay, if they're going to offer you 2% in return every month for a 24% return on the year, it's too good to be true, buddy. It's not for you, okay? Simple as that.
Yeah, but I think these scammers are more than that, Chuang. They're very good at playing the psychological game. They seem to know who to prey on, the vulnerable people who perhaps maybe not aware of what's going on, you You know, I noticed that they like to target the elderly, for example. So I think the point is, if you get a suspicious phone call asking you for details, just hang up.
Yeah.
Why should they be asking you these details in the first place? But I think going back to Namala's call, right, what worries me is this CMCO period. So yes, so far the numbers look better. The people that they're helping, you know, seem to be on track to paying up their loans. But does this CMCO put extra pressure on these people? And if you look at the headlines today in the Reserve and the Star, it paints quite a bleak trend though.
Of course, it does. And even before the CMCO, the debt counselling agency was sending something like 20 to 30 bankruptcies every day, especially among the young. And this is something which is which bears mentioning over and over again. You can't overemphasize the fact that financial literacy is a thing that is, by and large, a strange concept to most people in this country, young, old, or middle-aged, right?
Yeah.
And I think this is partly because people generally are lazy to do this. And I'm going to call a spade, right? They don't want to take the time out to learn about this whole financial industry and to understand the importance of it, which cannot be underestimated, right? And people, they just want to hear the latest stock tip or being told what to buy and tell me what to buy, and they don't want to sit through a 1 hour long podcast. They just tell me, bro, just tell me what should I buy tomorrow. It's lazy and it's irresponsible.
Well, the other thing to worry about, of course, is the high household debt rate, right? This is something that we really as a country need to be worried about, and this is a more macro thing because our household debt as of June is 87.5%. So, you know, whether this recent thing, this scams come CMCO, is going to impact more people, well, for sure.
Okay, 7:59. We'll come back after this with the news. And then after that, Roshan talks to Amanpreet Bajaj of Airbnb. And do bear in mind that this is a recording before the CMCO, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.